about the changes that have taken place in their life, and she observed that women still walk 5 paces behind their husbands despite the overthrow of the oppressive regime, that women now seem to be pretty happy with that old custom. And so she approached one of the Afghan women and she said, "Why is it that you now seem to be happy with an old custom that you so desperately worked to change?" The woman looked straight at her and she said, "Landmines." In our first two lessons in this series, we call Fundamentals of Christian Ministry, we focused on the very basic essential principle required for each one of us to find and practice our special function, our special role in God's body. Namely, you have been blessed to bless others. Finding your ministry enables you to channel God's blessings to others. We're really at a point in our, at least our relationship, my relationship with you and yours with me, where I think we're down to the really practical things. There are some things that we must learn and accept before we can actually bloom in serving the Lord. And at least in my estimation, and it seems to me in the Apostle Paul's estimation, the primary thing that we have to come to understand is that our righteousness is a gift from God, and that righteousness is imputed rather than earned through keeping law. And once we get our minds around that, or at least get our minds partially around that to the point that we accept it and we begin to try to understand all that that means in our life, then that enables us, if, as it were, to get our head in the game, to really put our whole heart behind serving God. Because if we feel like that our righteousness comes from "what did you do for me today," then we never feel any security. But once we begin to gain the security of imputed righteousness, then the gratitude that we feel because of that stimulates us to really want to be all that we can be for the Lord, to really find a ministry that we can glorify God. And so that's what this series of lessons is going to be focusing on. Our particular ministry is the outlet through which we pass along our blessings to others. And for those of us who like outlines, who like things in real practical form, if you'll stop and think about what our life is in relation to Christ and how what we're trying to become, then to boil it down to really basic, simple principles, God has blessed us. And we need to think about that. And we need to contemplate on those blessings. He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us spiritually. Secondly, he has given us vehicles to use to pass those blessings on to others. And we need to identify what those vehicles are. And then thirdly, we need the opportunity to be able to utilize those vehicles in passing along our blessings to others. That's what our Christian life is about. God has blessed us. He's given us the vehicle to share it with others, and he gives us opportunities to share those blessings with others. I want us to look at what the Bible says. Now, we've talked a little bit. We've at least been talking for about 3 years now about the blessings that God has given us, namely imputed righteousness, and certainly many more accompanying blessings. And now I want us to progress to the point that we begin to talk about the vehicles that God has given each one of us individually to pass those blessings on to others. And those vehicles, the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And so I want to spend some time, we're going to spend a great deal of time in the next several lessons talking about spiritual gifts, and we're going to lay some foundation today for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And the word here for spiritual gifts actually, and this is just a little landing out for some of you. Some of you didn't, you'll appreciate this, and others you won't. But the words that are translated spiritual gifts actually do not contain any word that should be translated gifts. And so it actually says, it literally says, spirituals are spiritualities. And you'll notice if you have a version that has italicized text in it, that the word gifts is italicized. Now, the New International doesn't italicize the word, but King James, New King James, Revised Standard, American Standard does italicize words, which means that those words were added to clarify the meaning. And so, literally, it is now about spirituals, brothers, or spirituality, brothers. I don't want you to be ignorant. And the word actually denotes two concepts. It brings two concepts together. One is power, and the other is invisible. And so, a spiritual gift is, in a very real sense, an invisible power that God has given to us. Now, you can just contemplate on that as you see fit. But in this context, we'll see that these spirituals were gifts and abilities given believers by the Lord and energized by the Holy Spirit. If you'll allow God's Holy Spirit to work in your life, you'll discover gifts and you will develop a highly personal ministry yourself. It will be your own unique ministry because God has given you certain special gifts, certain invisible powers, as it were, to pass along the blessings that He's given you to others. And that's what these are vehicles for. Another Greek word, and we'll bump up against this one in future lessons, that's frequently translated spiritual gifts is charismata. It's a Greek word. It means a grace gift. And we'll look at that a little bit later in other contexts. So, our definition of a spiritual gift will be a God-given, Spirit-empowered ability or skill that is to be used in Christian ministry to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the definition that we're going to use and the concept that I want you to get in your mind about what a spiritual gift is. And this concept is an incredible gift from God. To have a spiritual gift supplies an outlet through which you can pass along God's blessing to others in order to glorify God. So God has blessed you and by giving you a unique way because He's put you together with your special gifts so that you can, in a very unique way, bring glory to Him by blessing others. And it's an exciting concept to realize that God has supplied you with gifts through which you can glorify Him. Because one of the little asides, one of the blessings associated with that is it makes your life rewarded. It makes you secure in knowing that you're serving God in the way that He designed you to serve. And it makes your life fulfilling. There are lots of folks that are living without much purpose in life. But when you discover your gift and you utilize that gift, you're going to find a fulfillment and enrichment in your life that you've never known before. And consequently, you're going to have a peace that you've never had before. Some of the Corinthian Christians were having great difficulty with spiritual gifts for the simple reason that they themselves were not spiritual. And as a result, they were either not using the gifts that God had given them, or they were using them for their own selfish benefit to make themselves look good. And the result was that they were causing division in the body rather than bringing unity to the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he'll say in the first few verses, "Brothers, I could since there is jealousy and quarreling and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And so these Corinthian Christians had problems with the gifts that had been given them to use to glorify God and bless others because they themselves weren't spiritual. You see, you must develop into a spiritual person to enable you to properly utilize a spiritual gift. A carnal person cannot utilize a spiritual gift properly. So you must become a spiritual person. Carnal Christians do not think or act spiritually. And you don't automatically become a spiritual person when you're baptized and become a Christian. You grow into it, into becoming spiritual, by diligence in the Word of God. And if you're not willing to spend time in the Word of God, you'll never be a spiritual person. By obedience to God and by prayer. And by making the determination that you're not ever going to say no to an opportunity that God gives you to serve Him. Now folks, I'm stepping on some toes right now. Because some of us have gotten into a habit of saying no. We've gotten into such a habit that nobody even asks us anymore. And we kind of like it that way. We just come to church. We enjoy the singing. We may or may not enjoy the teaching and the preaching and the other things associated with it, but we're getting our ticket punched and we go on about our life. And we're not doing anything to serve others. A person who does not think spiritual, who does not desire spiritual things, cannot use spiritual gifts. And you cannot be satisfied with yourself spiritually. There are no shortcuts. Some Christians never become spiritual. They live and die as carnal Christians. And unfortunately, some who have become spiritual can be led away and lose that spirituality. I've known some people who early in their life were very spiritual people. And something happened in their life that they allowed themselves to be led away and they lost that spirituality. Peter's entire second epistle is a warning against falling away from our secure position by following those who distort the Scripture. And he says we avoid this danger by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you quit growing, you die. Therefore, if you truly desire to discover and utilize the spiritual gifts that God's given you, you must concentrate and diligently strive to become a spiritual person. We're going to look at four key passages for the next several weeks. You have a handout there. And I've left some blanks in it because I didn't want you to go to sleep. I want you to have a little part in it yourself. Within these four passages are actually six lists of spiritual gifts, no two of which are identical. There are some, you'll notice, some spiritual gifts that are noted in more than one list. But this will give us at least a feel for what is meant by the biblical terminology of spiritual gifts. But before we get into those texts, I want to put a warning out. A warning. And I want you to be aware of it. I feel a need to put something of a disclaimer right here as we start identifying gifts. I think there is an inherent danger associated with trying to be too specific with identifying gifts. Okay? And let me tell you some of why. If we approach this effort to identify our gifts like a personality profile where we identify our strengths and our weaknesses, then we have to be careful that we're not actually identifying our personal preferences. We tend to do that, you know, if we're given a choice. If somebody else assesses our abilities, they're more objective, but we're not very objective about assessing our own abilities. And the reason is because there are some things that we just don't want to do. We're uncomfortable doing them. And I see some value in analyzing ourselves to try to find our gifts. Obviously I do, since I'm sharing these lessons. But I also have seen Christians who allow themselves to be narrowly pigeonholed into a particular area of service because it doesn't require them to be challenged to serve in an area that they don't want to serve in. And if there's some way that we can help that one talent man to discover what his talent is and help provide an outlet for him to use that, then we have done a great service to that person, haven't we? But if we encourage the five talent man to focus on a single talent and become content not using the other talents that he may possess, then we have done him and the church a great disservice. So you very well may possess talents in areas that don't particularly appeal to you. I promise you, I know that firsthand. So I'm challenging you to challenge yourself to discover all of the talents that God has given you and to expand your ministry to make yourself more effective in serving the Lord. And I'm telling you up front, it takes courage and it takes faith, and it helps to have encouragement to discover and use the talents that God has given you. Don't limit yourself. Let God determine what you can and cannot do, what you're effective at and what you're not effective at. The only way that you can ever know is this. Don't ever refuse an opportunity that God puts in front of you. Don't ever say no. That's the only way that you're going to ever know where your talents lie. And some of us, whenever we're faced with an opportunity that really puts us out of our comfort zone, we automatically say no. And we're limiting our ability to learn the talents that God has given us, that He, the way that He made us and designed us. So, let's get a feel for what a spiritual gift is. You have a handout. So if you fill in any blanks that are left there. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6. It says, there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works in all men. Now to each man, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the ability to speak with wisdom. To another, the ability to speak with knowledge. By means of that same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to speak, distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of the tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives to each one as He determines. So, you have prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, showing mercy. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're just going to quickly look at these. Ephesians 4:11, and we're going to come back, by the way, and look at every one of these. Because some of these questions pop out. Like, faith is a gift? Really? Are there some people that have faith and other people that don't have faith? So there are some questions. We're going to talk about those in future lessons. Ephesians 4:11, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Literally, that's a compound word there. And by the way, He goes on and He tells you what the purpose of this particular group of spiritual gifts, what you're to accomplish with that. So if you have one or more of these spiritual gifts, He specifically tells you what your goal and what your aim is. So you don't have to have any questions about it. He said these are to prepare God's people for the works of service. So these are equipping gifts. Gifts that are to be used to help other people equip themselves to serve. We all have a place. Every single one of us, every single one of these gifts dovetails into one another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, he says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of us should use whatever spiritual gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God will be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And so, in that context, hospitality, speaking, and serving, And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, let me just go through this list for the sake of time. We're going to run out of time here, so you fill in. I'll call them out, and you go back and read it for yourself, because we're going to be looking at these contexts in much greater detail in future lessons. Wise speech, and I'm not keeping up with myself here, am I? Ephesians 4, when you have a one-track mind, you have problems there, all right? And I know, did I go through that too fast? Some of you need to come back and pick some of this up. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Wise speech, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, and interpretation. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helping others, administration, and tongues. Chapter 12, again, 1 Corinthians, verse 29 and 30. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, tongues, and interpretation. Now, who dispenses these gifts? Well, you know the answer to that. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, think of yourself in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them and all men. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, he says, these are the manifestations of the Spirit. And in verse 11, he says, the Spirit gives them to each man just as he determines. So it's God gives the gifts, Jesus gives the gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Isn't that interesting? That they're all involved in this process. Who's the recipient of the spiritual gifts? Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's in the context of spiritual gifts, each one of us. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, now to each man the manifestation of the Spirit is given. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, the Spirit gives them to each man just as he determined. And so recognizing that our gifts come from God allows us the freedom to openly acknowledge and claim. If it was something that we were digging out on our own and we had to try to prove to people that this was our gift, then there would be lots of folks who were very reluctant to claim those gifts. But if, in fact, it is given by God, then you're free to claim that gift. And it's not bragging. It's not pushing yourself. If it is a gift that God has given you, only a false sense of humility or fear would cause somebody to say, I don't have any spiritual gifts. What's the purpose of these spiritual gifts? Well, besides providing an outlet through which individual Christians can channel God's blessings, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says it's for the common good. You understand what that means? Your gift is for the good of the church. It's not to make you look good. It is for the good, for the benefit of others. 1 Peter 4, 10, each one should use whatever spiritual gifts he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7 says that using spiritual gifts apart from the love of others has no value to the person who administers it. Let's get this in mind for our entire series. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever spiritual gifts he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. There is no place for personal glory, regardless of what your gift is. In Corinth, the people had a problem over one or two of the gifts because everybody wanted those gifts because they put people up in front of others, and everybody thought, well, that really is a great thing. And then there were some other gifts that nobody particularly wanted. The line for service is generally not very long. But that's where God wants you, and that's where he wants you. The first will be last. The last will be first. That's a principle that's always been true. The power that energizes these spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them and all of them. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. We proclaim him, counseling and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all the energy so that he so powerfully works in me. You really want to be a productive, happy Christian in the Lord? You want to have peace in your life? You want to have a fulfilling, rewarding life, then you're going to have to find your ministry. And that means you've got to identify your talent. And that means you've got to become a spiritual person. You've got to get your head in the game. You've got to get your head right. And if you really want to become an effective servant for the Lord, you can. And you can have the life that you've dreamed about your whole life. But that means that we've got to change some things in our life. We've got to refocus things in our life. We have to learn to think spiritually and put to death the things of the flesh. Deny ourselves some things so that we can become spiritual people. So that we can identify our gifts. So that we can bless others and thus glorify God. That's why we're saved, to bless others. And it all starts by saying yes to the things that you know that you need to do. Is there something in your life this morning that you need to say yes to, that you've been saying no to? Something you've been putting off doing that you know the Lord wants you to do? Maybe there's some struggle that you've had in your life that